Yo, 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 what's going on with it? What's going on? Happy Monday to all my people up out there, man. What's going on with y'all? Hope that y'all is having a wonderful day. I just getting off work or whatever it is, man. Thank you for tuning in to Sports with Truck and Chubby. Let's go. Yes, sir. Get a truck horn for y'all up out there, man. I know it's annoying to some people, but I love doing it. It's my signature, and I got to give it to y'all, man. So we got going to get right up into it. Kermani seems to be having some trouble up there, man. And first off, before I get into this, man, look, I must say that, look, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, owe you an apology for jumping on you for Kermani. There got to be some kind of truth to this. I don't know what it is, but I simply just thought that you failed the young man, and there got to be some truth. So, look, I am apologizing for being wrong and being a newborn in this, and that's that. Hope that it reached you. Maybe it won't. But just know that I did it. So I'm a man of my word. I'm a stand-up kind of guy. That's, it is what it is. All right. I think it was all right. All right. So I'm gonna read y'all this story real quick, and then I'll give my input on it. Florida cornerback Kermani McClain has missed or appeared tardy to multiple team events per Swamps 24/7's Jacob Render. This includes team workouts, meetings specifically. McClain transferred from Colorado earlier in the year. A highly touted recruit, he was amongst Florida's most anticipated newcomers. He is currently not under scholarship listed as a preferred walk-on. Florida has yet to come to a decision on McClain's future moving forward, but it appears relations may have soured for quite some time. Wow. So we don't really know what's going on up there. You know what I mean? That was a little bit vague. You know what I'm saying? Like, they ain't really getting to it. It seems like the guy is hearing from somebody that he may be missing this. This could be a made-up story for all we really know. You know what I'm saying? But see, the thing is, it makes people that stood up for him once, like myself, have to go back and retrace steps and say, I apologize, right? Or they just don't, or some don't, you know what I mean? But I'm not that kind of guy. If I jump down there and I was wrong, I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? Can't be right all the time. I don't seem to know everything. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how it has to be out here to me anyway. But some people don't have to be that way. Some people just don't have to be that way. But now, and the people who already were jumping on him and believed that he was missing these team meetings and practices and weightliftings and so forth and so on, now they have more of a reason to just be like, all right, look, I'm cool off, dude. I'm cool off him. I don't even want to be bothered with him for real right now. Now, I already knew that he was a scumbag, whatever, and now it's coming out even more. But I don't know if y'all know about Mike Farrell Sports. Shout out to him. Him and Bucky had got into it, but dude is prominent. He's been around for a long time. He even scouted Shador when Shador was in high school. He was with Rivals since 1997, so he got 25 years in his sports writing game, recruiting around the recruits, writing stories on recruits, development and what he's seeing out of these guys and helping coaches, read up on recruits. So he got 25 years in the game. He's prominent out there right now. He got his own little thing, Mike Farrell Sports on X or whatever, Instagram and all of that. He writes stories and he continues to write and drop information. And most of the stuff he drops is accurate. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's valid. He's valid. I know that him and Bucky didn't see eye to eye. Deion Sanders Jr., that's who Bucky is for people who don't know. But I don't know, understand why I call him that. But Deion Sanders Jr., because I don't know him as Bucky to call him that, to be honest. But he has a stamped legacy out here in this sports writing game. So there's no reason not to believe what a Mike Farrell has either spoken on or written about. Okay. Let me start off with that. This ain't the dude from Athlon that wrote the story about Coach Prime and them, penalizing people from not going to Shador's concert. That's just crazy talk. You know what I mean? We ain't talking about nothing like that. We ain't talking to nobody who's going to come up with a story. This guy has, he's valid. All right. He's USDA stamped by a lot of people in this sports world, period. Mike Farrell, his name is. And he looked at Cremonti in Florida and he spoke on the fact that Cremonti McClain wanted to play receiver in college. He never wanted to play defensive back. See, in high school, they needed his help at defensive back to win a state championship. His talent is just that raw. He's just that good of a talent. Could he have been play? He was playing both ways in high school. I mean, but a lot of kids or guys play both ways in high school, go to college, and you got to pick one position. Now they put him on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know why they did that, but his heart is set on playing receiver. He wants to play receiver in college. They want him to play DB. See, this is where this is coming in at. They're not seeing eye to eye off the bat already. So if he's looking garbage as a DB, or he's not looking developed at a DB, and everybody knows he wants to play receiver, or they have heard that he wants to play receiver, why not put him at receiver? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to find, look, I'm just hitting this from a different angle and trying to keep this upon sports, okay? And not going to somewhere else with this and start digging into the culture and what may be influencing him to miss certain things. Because for all we know, he can be missing these events for NIL, be like everybody else that misses events and meetings for NIL out here. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know that. But the one thing that Mike Farrell has reported on and is that he wanted to play receiver and going into college. He wanted to do that. And he has not yet been able to play receiver or given the chance to play receiver. Everybody wants him as a cornerback because he can play corner. You know what I'm saying? And it just as real as it is and as real as it sounds, I kind of want to put, lean it towards like the Travis Hunter type of situation, because he's going to have to pick a position. He's not going into the NFL as both. That's rare to happen. He'll probably get some playing time on like kickoff return or and stuff like that. And maybe throwing a play here and there, maybe. But it hasn't been done in a very long time. Since the last person we've seen that do that was like, I think it was Devin Hester. And even Devin Hester, he with all his speed, he struggled at the position. But not to say that Travis can't do it in the NFL. But, it takes a lot more than what he had, a lot more. These guys are professionals. And where I'm getting at with this is that you're just going to have to choose and let him choose it. He already chose his position. He said, I played both. I want to play receiver, but everybody wants him to play cornerback. He don't want to play cornerback. He's not happy being a cornerback. And I don't know if he's vocal enough to say that, but say that if that's the case. If that's the case, come out and just tell the coaches, man, I don't want to play corner. I want to play receiver. But this has been said by Mike Farrell. And like I said, there's no reason for me to not believe what Mike Farrell is saying, period. He has the respect out here. He's been doing this since 1997. Longer than with some people out here, than with a lot of us out here on YouTube talking. So there's no reason for me not to believe a word of a Mike Farrell. And everything that Mike Farrell writes, nobody sued him for things he wrote in sports. Nobody has said anything to him because he's been on point. He's always gave an unbiased opinion on the sports, sports players and recruits and so forth and so on. So call it what it is. Even at one point in time, Deion Sanders thought he was highly respected by Deion Sanders at one point in time, up until Mike Farrell was critical of Colorado. Then that switched around. So let's just call it what it is out there. So there's no reason for me not to believe that. And to reference his words in my show. All right. So that's, you know, I just wanted to say that. And we don't know what's going on with the young man, but there got to be some kind of solution to that and everything else that's going on. But if it's being said, there got to be something going on with it. Gotta be. There got to be something going on. And in that case, I'm going to have to apologize to Coach Prime. I'm going to have to say, you know, come on here and say, Coach Prime, I apologize for thinking that you may have failed Kermani McClain. Because there has to be some kind of truth to what is going on. Now, whether it's the NIL meetings or whatever it is, lack of communication on his part, if it's that, you know, you got to step up and you got to do that. And see, that's where we get that wrong, guys. See, because these young men or young men, and some people call them kids because they still act like kids because they're not handling business like men. They're not communicating. Some of these guys is missing meetings because a family member may be ill. Some things may be going on back home, but they're not communicating. And that's what you got to do as an adult. You have to communicate. You should communicate as an adult. It's the right thing to do, especially when you got business partners or something else going on. Communicate amongst each other. That's all it is just to tell somebody, look, I can't make it because X, Y, and Z or blah, whatever it is. Just communicate. An open line of communication is everything in whatever kind of relationship you got going on. Coach, player, husband, wife, friend, best friend, no matter what kind of relationship it is, work relationship, boss, employee, you need an open line of communication for things to work. If you do not have an open line of communication, things will fall apart, period. Next story I want to jump up into, man, is now I spoke on the Shakur Stevenson thing, but I'm going to play this little clip of Roy Jones Jr.
to be able to come back
and up on the show and Roy Jones Jr. being on here. Let me get it pulled up and then y'all be able to hear the audio and see it too. So no worries. Let me get it pulled up here though, so y'all can see it. All right. Now I'll play it for y'all. Then we'll talk.
Very good fighter, but you got to learn. And I will hope he will pay attention to this because this is going to mean a lot for him.
Mm-hmm.
His feet are good. But sometimes they take them too far out of range to be able to come back and counter.
Mm-hmm.
The last guy he fought, the guy was a good puncher. So when he was jumping back, he was jumping too far back out of range to where he couldn't come back and get something right away. You know what I'm saying? And for the fans, it starts to look bored.
That's how I'd say. I feel like he was running.
He really ain't running. He just don't understand that this is somebody that'll teach him. And I would teach him if they ever brought him to me to teach him. But he got to understand what I'm trying to tell him. I'm not trying to criticize him.
Right.
When you say something bad, they take this criticism.
Right.
No, son, you got to understand how to not jump. Okay.
You dig. I feel that. Not all the time somebody saying something to you is taken as criticism. That was just like me with the whole funny game thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes. A lot of the time, it's how you take it. Nobody can control how you feel but you, yourself. You control how you feel yourself. Nobody can make you feel any kind of way. You make yourself feel that kind of way with words and anything that you may interpret. You do that. Somebody may have said something to you, but it's upon you on how you take it. You could brush it off and say, I ain't worried about you. Or you could be like, forget it, whatever else. Keep it moving, laugh at it. However you take that, that's the point. You, how you take that that information they give you. Now, I agree. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. I believe that. But also at the end of the day, you can only make yourself feel some kind of way. And Shakur Stevenson, he reposted that and he was like, look, I agree. Roy Jones is a real one. You know, what it seems like to us as a casual fan in boxing, him jumping back and not being able to counter he's jumping too far out of range because he's with a puncher, so he can't counter because his range is he out of range now, so he can't counter. He jumps back too far. His hands, he ain't Mr. Stretch from the Fantastic Four. You know what I'm saying? He ain't gonna hit him that from far back. He only can hit him as far as his within his reach. So that was broken down by a all-time Hall of Fame boxer, Roy Jones Jr. It just ain't nobody out here talking. And look, I gotta take Roy Jones Jr. word for it. This is what we saying. You know, I ain't gonna sit there. I defer to Roy Jones Jr. That was some knowledge that I just gained. And I hope that it was informative for y'all up out there and us thinking that. Now, me personally, like I said before, I don't think that Shakur Stevenson should get caught up into the drama, up into the hype of what fans want him to do. He shouldn't care about that. He shouldn't care about none of that. Don't get caught up in that because somebody going to go out there, a volume puncher, you're going to want to sit in a pocket or whatever they call it, and you're going to get touched up and you may get hurt. And when you get hurt, sometimes that people it's like when you get, it's like you prick yourself or you get a cut and you jump in the ocean around some sharks. People smell, they smell that blood. They going for the kills. Over with. It's over with after that, you know? So, but that was by Roy Jones, and I appreciate Roy Jones dropping that. That was the solution, and that's a way for everybody out there to look at it. Like, he's out of range, so he can't counter punch. If he's jumping back too far out of range, he ain't running, though. You know what I'm saying? He knows what it is. He's been around. He's Roy Jones, man. Listen, Roy Jones does that, bro. He know what he talking about. Like, I don't care what nobody out there say. Roy Jones does this. He knows what he's talking about. He does this. Now, Paul Feinbaum went in, bro. Paul Feinbaum went all the way in, man. He didn't spare no thing talking about Colorado. And y'all know I was going to bring this up. Man, oh, man. I'm not sure. Credit the First Take or whatever it is. I think it was on there, man. I'd rather play the audio of it than play the actual video because I'm not trying to get copyrighted on YouTube. So I'll play the audio. Hopefully y'all can hear it in the background. But this is Paul Feinbaum. I can't remember the chick that's next to him. But then RG3 comes in after that. All right. Now, and this is the question on the screen. I'll read it to y'all, but I'm not going to have it pulled up. Is will Deion lead Colorado to a college football playoff during his tenure? All right.
Back on that for a second. Anyone asking whether Deion Sanders and Colorado are close to the playoffs simply doesn't understand the reality of the road. They're not going to the playoffs this year. And I'm not sure Deion Sanders is ever going to get them to the playoffs because I don't think he has the patience to stay at Colorado long enough. There's so many misconceptions out there. Deion Sanders is the best salesman I've ever seen. I personally love the guy and for what he stands for. But the program looking out has a ridiculously inflated view of itself. I heard Shador Sanders, who's a fabulous quarterback, say last week, "We are everyone's Super Bowl." Shador, you are not. You are an easy win nowadays. You got off to a phenomenal start last year, beating a couple of mediocre teams that had big names. And quite frankly, you haven't done anything since other than crash and burn. So I know that the media loves this story. We fall all over ourselves. But Colorado isn't important in college football. Deion Sanders is. He's a standalone person. He's one of the most charismatic people we've ever seen. But Colorado is nothing. They don't matter. They're irrelevant in the big picture of college football.
I'm going to play RG3's joint next because I think RG3, he cleared it up a lot. RG3, you know, look, what Paul Feinbaum said is what a lot of people be thinking, right? And I think that Paul Feinbaum is critical and a lot of things he's saying. I don't be agreeing with Paul Feinbaum on what he be saying because he just sometimes he just be talking old head for real. But What I will say about this, there ain't no buts on that. But look, what he's saying right then and there about Colorado not being relevant, they are relevant. They are. Deion Sanders is so much so. Colorado is so much prominent that Colorado literally has their enrollments up. Let's you know, and I hate to talk about this because, but it's just the facts, right? That matters, okay? To school, economy out there, whatever. In my world, Colorado is up. Sports content creation. You can literally be a fake Colorado fan out here, start a whole Colorado channel, talk about nothing but Colorado, Deion Sanders, whatever, and you're going to get views, bro. Like, everybody does it for clicks. I don't care who you are and what it is. It's just smart business 101, y'all. Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, I get so, like, at first, me, myself, I'm still like a newborn out here, like an infant. I'm not a newborn no more, but I'm an infant out here. So I'm still learning a lot of what's going on out here in the internet podcasting game and so forth and so on. I'm pretty much teaching myself this stuff as I'm going on with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty much out here just like winging it and just teaching myself as it goes, you know, and learning new things as time goes on. And that's how a lot of people are out here. You know, there's no course to take. And if there is, people want to charge you out the back to do that. And of course, they don't want you to grow above them. You know, they always want to keep you underneath them, you know, so it's not like somebody's going to help you rise above them. Nobody's out here to do that. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's out here to charge. That's why they want to, once they get a certain amount of followers and a big platform, nobody's saying, I started from nothing here. Come on my show. You can start from nothing. There's so many views that's out here in the world that you can't have them all. But that's how greed happens. And that's what it does. People charge. They not now. I want to charge you to come up on my show. You know what I mean? You got to pay me to come on my platform so that you'll gain, because you're going to gain this amount of followers and so forth and so on. It's the name of the game. It's how it works. I'm not mad at it. I'm not. And I hope I'm not, I don't sound like I am. It's just smart business 101. But Colorado really has made people like rise above a lot. It just has. Now, a lot of us that come over is strictly because of Deion, you know, the Colorado, you know, because when he leave or if he leaves Colorado, a lot of people going to leave. A lot of people are going to leave. Now, what he said about Deion standing there with the patience, I think he has the patience to stay there. I do think he has the patience to stay there, but I don't know if he will stay there. Because he's all about a better opportunity. And why wouldn't he not be? It's smart business. It's smart business. I like, look. And this is just the truth and the fact of the matter. And everybody out in Colorado knows this, period, point blank. And I know they gave Stephen a heck about what he said. If Deion Sanders and Deion Sanders Jr. were doing what they're doing right now at like a Texas A&M in the SEC, Texas A&M would damn near be big. Like, that'd be the biggest thing since Johnny Manziel happened down there, first of all. And they would be getting the top recruits in the country back to back to back to back to back. Hands down, bro. I don't care. Juju Lewis, they would have, he probably would have had already 2, 4, 5 star recruit quarterbacks on lock right now, fully committed to him. That's where he's going to get the big guys to go on the big stage. It's either in the Big Ten or in the SEC, one of them schools. If Deion Sanders is at USC, oh my goodness, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. I don't look. If Deion Sanders is if he goes to Florida, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Any Big Ten or SEC school that Deion Sanders goes to, it is a wrap. Do y'all understand me? I'm telling y'all this right now. It's a wrap. he's going to sew up the game in a way that it's never happened before. Do we not think that if, and I know I'm taking this somewhere else, but I'm just pointing it out how big his star power is at Colorado. So yes, they are a Super Bowl to people because of his bravado. They want to beat him. They want to beat Shador. They want to beat Colorado because Colorado has all the eyes on them. So yes, that is huge to a lot of people. And that's pretty much what RG3 said, but it's the truth. It's the truth. But let me get into this because now I like where I'm going. I like that. I really do. If Deion Sanders is at a USC, could y'all imagine the players that he would get if he was sitting in Lincoln Riley's seat right now? Bruh, he would have an in, and man, let's not forget the fact that Warren Sapp is there as a grad assistant, but Warren Sapp has to come in as a grad assistant because he's at the entry level of coaching in college, right? But next year, Warren Sapp will be able to become a defensive line coach or a defensive coordinator, either or. And he'll probably just go start off slow and go to a defensive line coach by next year. If him and his staff, the staff that he has, was at USC, it'd be a wrap. It'd have been a wrap. I honestly believe there would have been some big, huge names, big body guys, offensive line. His offensive lineman would be 320 plus right now. Hands down. Hands down, man. Like, because it's a no-brainer. If he can do all of that at Colorado, and you think that these other presidents in the NCAA, because that's what they're under right now, but these other presidents under in the Big Ten or the president of the SEC don't see the president of the Big 12 conference eating off of Deion. The reason why the Big 12 is even invited Colorado to come back into the Big 12, and the Big 12 is lit as it is right now, is largely is because of the teams that's in there, the blue blood recruitment, bringing up a three-star, two-star, and making them into a prominent athlete, the development, the teams that's there have a strong history of retaining their talent and everything else. But and on top of that, you got the shine and the glitz and the glamour of a Colorado there. That's the reason why the Big 12 is popping the way it is, a large reason why. Like, there's other reasons why the Big 12 is popping. It's not just because of Colorado, but Colorado is the icing on the cake. Colorado is the candle on the cake. Colorado is blowing out the candles on the cake. You know what I'm saying? Like, Colorado is the filling in the cake. You feel me? Like, they are an important ingredient of why the Big 12 is definitely popping this year. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that, because even at when they were going on this losing streak and they didn't win but one game out of their last seven games, people were still watching Colorado at an all-time clip, and their games were still sold out, bro. Come on, like, the games are already sold out now for Colorado. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, so if listen to me. If Colorado and Rick George want to keep Deion Sanders there, they going to have to drop a big bag on him. A big bag. Because every year that Deion Sanders is there, that economy is up almost roughly $20 million annually. Seasonally, every football season, I guarantee you, because last year they were what, 18.6 million. They went up a million followers. They're way up past that now. Not only up, they up there, but they have all different content creators and space people out there, space people in spaces that have Colorado channels, and they promote the players and they're getting thousands of views. So when you go to Colorado, your social media is low. You probably got 1,000 followers. You become a star at Colorado, you easily got 1 million followers, 1 million subscribers, 1 million whatever. Your business is set. Like, that is the perfect NIL thing. See, a lot of player people out there don't get that. Like, you building your NIL there at Colorado the right way. That's the one thing I will say about Colorado. That is truly how name, image, and likeness works. That is the true definition and the true way of name, image, and likeness. You are forming your own bag. You're not getting a collective bag. You'll get probably get a little bit of the collective, but you're also forming your own bag. And if Deion can do, like, if he goes to any SEC, because he ain't going to the cold. So it's either going to be a California school, hands down, USC, because if Lincoln Riley don't win, his job is going to be in jeopardy, and they're going to be looking to get Coach Prime. And I can definitely see Coach Prime chilling out there in Cali underneath that warm California sun, living in California, eating it up at USC. They'll be back to prominence. And I honestly think if he wasn't at I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this boldly. And I'm realistic when it comes to Colorado and takes on Colorado. But I'm going to say this boldly. If Deion Sanders is at a USC or at a Florida right now, he's turning that team around in 1 year. The first year he lands there, that team is going to be totally turned around. Huge turnaround, period, point blank. And they're going to win. They're coming off in a winning record his first season, period. At any of those schools, he's going to come off on a winning season with a winning record at any given time, period. I'm saying that. Yes, I believe that, because he's going to get some of the nation's best talent there. That's the only reason why a lot of these top recruits, like a Walter Nolan that went to Ole Miss, or Quinshon Judkins went up to Ohio State, these guys who transferred, that's the only reason why they ain't going to Deion, is because he ain't at a bigger school. If he was at a bigger school, they would have, but I'm there. ETN is not leaving. If Deion Sanders goes to Florida, ETN is transferring back to Florida. I'm telling y'all this, man. I'm telling y'all this. But we know this. But deep down, we know this. And look, I am fair on my takes with Colorado. I am critical of Colorado. But I'm telling y'all, and we know this deep down, if he can do this at a Colorado up in the cold-ass mountains where snowboarding is the number one fun thing to do year-round, and if you think he can go somewhere where it is warm year-round in a SEC or in a Big Ten conference where it is totally warm at, and you think that he ain't going to have no championship team at a prominent school like a USC or a Florida, hell, I'm talking so heavy right now. He can go to South Carolina and get it popping. Jack, straight up, I'm telling you. NIL, any SEC, I don't care what SEC school, long as it's warm, a warm SEC school. When you're talking Tennessee, Tennessee and Kentucky, they get a little bit of that iffy weather like Colorado. But I'm talking about where a nice weather southern school, man, it's over, man. It's a wrap. He gonna change college football ain't gonna never be the same again. He gotta go. Look, and I'm gonna say this. He's going to win at Colorado, but it's going to be tough for him to always recruit talent at the Colorado, because I think a lot of players do like the warmer states. I do believe they like that warmer weather. They like that to live there. You know, they'll play in the snow. We'll play in the cold if we got to. We will, but where do we want to live? You know, the scenery, the things to do. And he'll have a lot of that under control, like, because, oh man, I don't know. Because they not pissed. Kids is going to do what they do now. But when you got a coach like him, I'm not going to put no words out there or anything like that. But he been and put him on some other game. Like, man, like, why y'all fools going to go to the strip club, man? Y'all can just have him come here. Like, you know, man, like, man, stop it, man. Stop it, man. I even think I don't know this to be true, but even if he went to the University of Nevada, imagine him in Vegas. What? Man, I'm just saying, like, I'm just being honest, though, just what he's able to bring out, you know, with all the things and everything, but, it's going to take time for Colorado to build up, man. It is, man. And I've always said this. I think that Colorado is, he's going to stay there and he's going to walk off with a win, man. But, because he's not going to walk off being a loser. And I'm starting to see that more now. Like, he can't do that. Because us older people know him as from the player. Like, we see him as the player. Like, I remember him, you know, Deion, the player. So we see him as the player. Okay. A lot of these younger guys didn't see the player. Prime time, Neon, Deion. They didn't see that. Right. So all they know is Coach Prime. And right now, Coach Prime has had his first losing season in the Power Five. He not walking off with no losing record at no school. The more I think about it, I just don't think he'll do that. You know, I think, you know, because I was saying also, and I was thinking to myself, like, I don't think he gonna stay after Shador and them leave. You know, he gonna leave. But the more I think about it, it's like, how? You ain't never quit at nothing. We have never seen you quit at nothing. And now all of a sudden you're going to go in the Power Five and you're going to take a couple losing seasons and walk away. Nah, that ain't happening. If he ain't going nowhere until he win. When he win, then we got to worry about him leaving Colorado. I think that's what it is, to be honest. That's just me, though. That's just me, you know, but hey, look, one thing we do know, and this is for sure, and I know this is definitely going to contradict what I just said, is that if that bag talk, he going to walk. If they throw the bag at him, and believe me, there is some Big Ten schools and some SEC schools with their eyes on Coach Prime because of what he brings to the school. You got to understand they go off enrollments and everything else like that and so forth and so on. But the one thing I will say is, you know, the trolls come out and they say all kinds of ignorant things and they talk crazy in the comments and they, oh, well, you going to regret what you saying, old man, and blah, blah, blah. You going to eat your words, you old clown. Ain't nobody listening to this guy, blah, 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 man. They really don't want a black man to succeed, and they take jabs out of him at every turn, and they say they ain't racist. Look, that's their opinion. They've been around college. See, a lot of people got to remember that that's their opinion, and a lot of people around sports respect their opinion, and you and people respect their opinion too, because when you talk about him talking about SC and Lincoln Riley has to make a statement this year and everything else, everybody agreed with that take. He was critical at SC too, but they agreed with that take, but they ain't nobody really had this nothing to say about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. Like, that's who Paul Feinbaum is. But he's been around a lot to see things in a traditional way. And this is a whole new way to him. And that's just his opinion. And there's a lot of people who feel that way because they never seen it done like that. And they understand the continuity that it takes to run a college football team. Like we have to realize and be realistic with this, Colorado fans out there. Y'all have to be realistic with this, right? If a NFL team out there today, and this is an NFL team we talking about, NFL team, they have a whole new coaching staff. They have three players on the team that are, you got two that's superstars and one that is an impact player. So you got two superstars on offense and one impact player on defense. You still need nine other players on that offense, and you need 10 other players on that defense, and you still need a defensive superstar, right? Do we think that team is going to win the Super Bowl? Do we think that team is going to go to the playoffs? And we're talking a, and we're talking a NFL professional football team where everybody out there has a personal trainer. Everybody out there shows up the OTAs. Everybody out there is taking care of their body, putting the best things in their body. And everybody out there is at least none less than a 100,000-aire. All right. Thousandaires or millionaires or possibly a billionaire or two. Do you think that team is going to go to the playoffs? Is it possible that team can go to the playoffs? Absolutely. There's always some kind of Cinderella story out there. There's always hope. But realistically, do you think that NFL team would go to the playoffs? No, we don't. And everybody out there would be dragging that team like crazy. It's never been done. Not even on a professional level. I mean, it's like, come on, man. And a whole new team, all new coach, like pretty much new coaches in the most important positions. You got the coaches, like, you know, I'm realizing that position coaches are important to relate to these young men, but also, like, come on, like, we talking, or what are we talking, like, we really talking, like, defensive coordinator, first time ever calling a defense, all brand new players, you know what I'm saying, like, switching up his players and everything, but this first time ever calling a slowed down level of defense that he never played before. Because see what's going to happen is that he's used to professionals, so he can make an adjustment on how to stop that. But when you get somebody dominant on the other side of the ball on offense against your defense in the collegiate level, there's nothing that you can do. He's just too dominant for them. You get a grown ass man out there playing against that defense and they can't stop them, there's nothing you can do to stop them in college. It's just the fact. We've seen it done. We've seen it with Reggie Bush. We've seen it with Vince Young. We've seen it with Cam Newton. We've seen it with Johnny Manziel. There's nothing you can do against players like that. They're going to get theirs. They're going to go off. There's nothing you can do. You can't game plan around them, even in the SEC. Even in the Big Ten, when you run into a dominant player like that, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing he can do to scheme around that. If his team cannot stop that player, and that's going to be a new thing for this coach. And this is the things that a lot of people don't think about. Like, you know what I mean? It's almost not high school, but it's almost that. Like, if they're just that conditioned and just that way, like, it is what it is. Like, you know Travis is going to get his. You know Travis is going to get his because he's that good, right? He's that good. Travis is going to get his. Offensively, Travis is going to get his. Period. There's nothing you can do about that. He's just that good. Let's call it what it is, right? But you got to have a whole offensive lineman of like Travis. to go and win national championships in college. It's hard to win in college football. I just started covering college football. I want to say 9 months ago, I started covering college football because I was doing all NFL, you know, and then I was doing Colorado. But I got into college football and really started studying the game and everything. So I really am a newborn in college football. But one thing I do know that it's hard to win in college because everybody in college wants to get to the bag. You know what I'm saying? And I think, do I think this is going to change college football, them getting paid? I think it may, because now they might get lax a little bit. We'll see. We'll see this year with the product on the field. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, you know. But that was the one thing college football had that the NFL didn't. Everybody was going, wanting to get to the next level, so they were playing their hardest. They were playing their hardest. They were. And that's one thing that made college football unique. But it's hard. It's hard to win at these levels, man. These guys are good, man. These young men are good. And it's hard to win. Hard to win. You got to be set up. Like, and you, the very first thing you need is a all-star caliber offense and defense of line. You have to have that. You have to have that. I don't care. And not only that, you have to have a back. Their backups have to be productive. Their backups have to be productive. But, you know, when they get in breathers, so their backups have to be productive. And I think and I'm not trying to throw shade, but that's pretty much what the trenches is. He just kind of got a lot of breathers, a lot of backups, a lot of guys who, and that's just what they were. Let's just call it what it is. That's what they were at their other schools. Now what they, that now they're getting a chance to prove themselves. So well, now we'll get to see what they can do, but that's what they were other people's backups, right? They were all underneath, and it is what it is. It's the truth. That's just a fact. But we haven't seen them play on the field yet to see if they're going to produce this year, but that's what they were. But at the same time, you know, they have to be productive, but you need all-star caliber players to win a natty, to the point where when you win a natty, like, it's easy to say. That's why teams who win national championships in college football, 12 of their players get drafted to the NFL because they are pro ready. That's what it takes. You have to be some. You have to be a professional football team to win a national championship in college football. Let's just put it that way. And there's only a few teams out there that's built that way. So we can exclude that, right? Now, bowl game, that's more likely. But even to be in a bowl, you still have to have a lot of that pro in you. You have to have that. They have to have that in them. They have to. And I don't know. You know, it gets tough, man. It gets tough. We'll see, because teams are, and I do agree what RG3 is saying, and I do agree with what Shador is saying. Yes, they are a lot of people's Super Bowls, because everybody is going to play Colorado like they ain't never played a game of football in their life. And that is why we need some kind of bravado and confidence that he brings to college football. And why I want him to stick around college football is because people want to beat you. Because now what else do they got to shoot for if you're not talking junk? I would like to see more coaches go on. I would love to have coaches just go at it on the internet and in the Twitter spaces without them being ridiculed for it in the papers or going to the StreamYard and just talk. My team about to do your team dirty. I would love to see that. That would be dope, because that's going to get us watching again. That's going to have these players playing again, because people are getting paid. But there's so many people out there that's sensitive. Oh, he don't do that. You don't cook, you know, there's a lot of that. So, whatever. But yeah, I agree, man. I agree with a lot of that stuff, man. I'm glad that y'all came here to kick it with me, man. Y'all know me going on my tangents and everything, but that's all I really had today, man. But I got a question for y'all when I want y'all getting it down in the comments. Two questions. Is Lincoln Riley on the hot seat? Okay. That's one that you could probably get down there with. Two. Do you agree with Paul Feinbaum or with RG3 and why? Oh, yeah. And three. One more. Just to make it three. One, two, three. What school? And which school is it that Deion Sanders goes to and can make an immediate impact and have a 10-win season at? Which school is that? All right. So, first question. I'll read it back. First question is, is Lincoln Riley on the hot seat? Second question, do you agree with Paul Feinbaum or with RG3 and why? Number three, which school does Coach Prime go to and have a first year 10-win season at? All right. Thank y'all for tuning in to Sports with Trek and Chubby, man. I'm about here, man. Y'all know how I'm giving it up. Peace.
Want to see Truck and Chubby live and co-host Shed? Tune in at Fans Point of View. Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. But in the meantime, in between time, enjoy the content. Don't forget to hit your notification bell for all updates. Thank you for watching.